All right, Don, can you shut the fuck up for about 5 seconds?
I'll take that as a no.
Oh, get it started, Paul! Hurry up, get it started, Paul!
Episode 54, once again, back in the insane asylum. Night Living Dreads podcast, I'm Otis B. Dreads. Of course, we have, who do we have? Who is to my right?
Well, that would be SJ, I guess. I don't know if I'm on the left or right, but I'm going to jump right in there. Right. SJ, what's up, everybody?
SJ in the house. We also have Don Skrull.
What's up, Paul?
Oh, how, good Lord. Don is ready to go tonight. Hey, we got a weird one, I guess you could say. Put a little poll over there on the new Night of the Living Dreads Facebook group. It is a public group. You don't have to sacrifice small animals to get into this one.
I'm just taking some of the fun out of it.
I know I did, didn't I? All right. So I will put that you will have to sacrifice a small animal. That's right. 9/11 Dreads over there, public group, and a Facebook page as well. Speaking of Facebook, let's give a little shout out to some of our friends of the Insane Asylum. The Twilight Hour, Miss Amanda. And that awesome group over there doing a lot of watch parties. Hey, you know, as I posted in the group, if you're looking to watch some horror movies, you're looking to watch them with like-minded people, that's the place you want to be. Misfit Horror Fiend Club, a good buddy of ours, Van and his wife Trisha run that group. Awesome. It's a place for... Misfits, but also the love of the punk band, the Misfits, and horror. Make sure you check them out. Slaughterhouse, Slaughter on Wayne.
Slaughter on Garth.
I wasn't sure if Don was going to be able to do it this time. We even
I was going to say it.
I know you're
going to say Slaughter on Wayne. Paul.
God, him and this ball shit.
Hey, Bubba.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Watch it, steal. We gotta protect it. We got us a wild, wild show.
Yeah, there's monsters out there near that steel. I seen them.
There is monsters. Good Lord.
I even seen a car. It was a Packard.
We also have other friends of the Insane Asylum. Zombie Boob. Gotta love some Zombie Boob out there.
Squishy.
Squishy.
Squishy, squishy Zombie Boob.
Boobie! Boobie!
Froggy style.
Boobie! Ski slopes. Bongo girl.
At this point, if I forget to shout you anybody out, it's their fault.
Hey, Scareface. I gotta say Scareface. And
Scurryface.com.
Scurryface. S-C-U-R-R-Y.
Not scary.
Scurry. Like your last name, you know, like your own last name. Scurry.
Art, Paul, Art, Bubba. Gotcha.
All right, so Scurry Face, S-C-U-R-R-Y, face.com. And let's see, hell, I can't even remember now. Cannabis Arcade, They supply the medication for the insane asylum. Cannabis spelled with a K. And as I mentioned, Night Living Dreads, we have a group page now. So we have a group and a page. I said a group page. It's kind of like the... No, never mind.
Double entendre.
Tundra.
Oh, God. And nightlivingdreads.com. Of course, Dreads with no A. You can catch that this podcast out and that one and the other ones at nightlivingdreads.com, as well as Spotify, Stitcher, and we're also looking in the other avenues that want to take on this shit show. So here we go. Here we go. All right.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. You're out of your element, man.
You're out of your element, Don. Good call, SJ Slender.
I'm held up from the ground, though.
Moo, moo, moo. That's all I can do.
That's it. Good Lord. All right. Tonight, we did a little poll over there on the group. I put up a little poll. Some people chimed in on, different topics. Yes.
Don't you always put up a little poll?
We got a bunch of fucking comedians here tonight. My goodness.
We got a little poll put up there. What's that for? What was that for?
All right.
Did you put the poll up? The poll was popular.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail that.
No, as little as my poll is, it is a popular little poll. And... we had different topics. Good Lord. Somebody muzzle him. Where's them fucking white coats when we need them?
This is the only hour we have where they're taking their dinner break. So
I know.
Come on, we got to hurry this thing up.
We got to hurry.
Hey, Paul.
At any rate, we're talking a cryptid. Those of you who don't know what a cryptid is, it's a code word for... fucking ridiculous and comic genius. It's
cryptozoology. Now, don't shit on the entire notion of cryptozoology. I believe that a large number of people that listen to this podcast are cryptozoology nerds, like Don and myself.
Yes.
I am not. And
you're not believers, but just nerds.
Okay.
This is before creepypasta.
Yeah. Okay. Pre-pasta. And we're also going to talk about the Colorado cannibal known as Alfred Packer. Which one do we want to start with first?
I think we go with Packer.
Let's go with the Fudge Packer. All right. Alfred Packer.
I mean, nobody said anything about that.
No, but
it's Alfred, and it's Alfred, by the way, everybody. Alfred.
Not
Alfred.
No. Actually, that's been fucking, debunked. Yes. Did you listen to the guy who wrote the book on him, the author? And what it is, it's a big misconception. His name was actually Alfred. He was said to be dyslexic, so he always wrote his name with the R and the E reversed.
That makes sense. No, I didn't. I missed the detail.
Yes.
That goes to show the level of preparation SJ puts in to each and every one of these episodes.
And it's a lot.
I know one thing.
What's that?
He was a fudge sickle.
Especially a fudge sickle?
Yeah.
It's got to be. It's...
And then he was cold, so he's a fudge sickle.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you but you're
moving
reaching.
Moving on.
do we need to get much into early Alfred, or should we jump right into? There's not a whole lot, because Alfred Packer's, for one, what you have most of is what he says, which is a lot of what the research is about. But he was pretty much a known fucking liar. He lied all the time. Nobody knew when he was telling the truth. Nobody believed him when he came back and said his, you know, his party left him up in the snow. And, you know, he had to come back. He don't know where they went. Here's the story in a nutshell, and then I'll just hand it over to you two fucking nut jobs. Basically, you have a group of 21 individuals, okay, who are prospectors, and they're going. They started where? Where did they start at? Because they were going to the Colorado Territory.
Right, they were out in search of gold and silver and fortune, basically.
I think they started on the East Coast somewhere. I think Illinois, I remember reading somewhere like that, and then they.
I got to hear on Wikipedia. According to this, they set out in November 1873. 20 men left the Bingham Canyon mines near Salt Lake City, Utah. And they were headed for Breckenridge, Colorado. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I got here on Wikipedia. As we all know.
Yeah, that's what
Wikipedia is 100% accurate always.
Fact.
But there was definitely a purported gold there. People were saying that there was gold in them dar hills.
Gold in them hills.
But yeah, so yeah, they set off to find gold in Colorado, and as you said, Packer was a known liar. Maybe not known before this, because before this, he was a soldier in the Civil War for the Union side of things. So, yeah, you know,
seizures got him discharged pretty much. He had seizures.
Yeah, he was an epileptic and discharged twice from the service.
Yeah, what they call grandma or grandma seizures.
The full body seizures. Mm-hmm. And he would have them like every 2 days, so obviously that didn't make him the best soldier, especially for a ground-based war like the Civil War. So that didn't work out for him, but he wasn't dishonorably discharged. That's the thing that's interesting to me about him. The early part of the story, anyway.
It wasn't
like he was a fuck up and a drunk or something. He was just physically discharged.
And he would, you know, I mean, because you can't have him running up to the front line and then just dropping down, flopping like a fucking fish. I mean, it's a good decoy for the rest of the guys, but
it might scare him to death. Might make him run the away.
Hey, Grandpa Caesar's.
Oh my God, Grandpa features. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, do the Grandpa Caesar.
That was good. You said Grandma, I said Grandpa.
Starskirt, Bubba.
So how the story goes is, again, there's a lot of different reports on, you know, I mean, it's one of them stories, again, that's, you know, a lot of speculation, because for one, you can't trust a fucking thing that comes out of Packer's mouth. And it seems to be, in a sense, a general consensus of the populace, a small town that he arrived back in. By himself, but what is said to have happened was a lot of the party of these 20 prospectors, all but five and Packer, so six of them, so you got about 14-15 people.
I'd like to rewind a little bit there, though, because started out as a posse of men going out to seek their fortune. Out in the Colorado Hills, they only met Packer along the way. I think it was like 5-10 miles into their journey, they met this guy.
Yes.
And, you know, the two-time, you know, discharged Civil War veteran. And so he's kind of like almost a beggar on the street when they find him. And he's, as a beggar is wont to do sometimes, he's trying to sell himself for more than he's worth. So he's trying to say that he's a
Like we do on the podcast.
Yeah, a little bit. But he's trying to tout himself as like a trail gun. Like, yeah, I can get you across the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
Right. He said,
I know these trails. You follow me, you'll be in good company. So they're all like, all right, well, go ahead.
It's important to say that the 20 men, before they went up to the mountains, they went into an Indian reservation, right?
Oh, yeah, this is after they met Packer, though.
Yeah.
Right, they already had Packer, like, in Packer. The game at that point.
Right. Yeah. And then they stopped at the Indian reservation, and it was really, really cold, and it was, you know, the onset of winter. And
January when they set out, and it was February when they came to the tribe. They found the tribe, right. Tribal camp.
And that's where there was only, what, five or six that went up there because the rest of them disagreed with Packer.
With Packer, right. No, well, the one threatened to shoot him. The one said, hey, if you follow us, I'm going to shoot you. Okay, stay the fuck away from us. So it was like, you know, kind of like Packer and, you know, these other five guys kind of like followed behind them, but at a safe distance, it was said, because, well, Packer had no idea where the fuck he was going, man. Like you said, SJ, he completely, you know, just fudged his way into this because he was, you know, probably down on his luck. I don't think he had, you know, a whole lot of money. Although some say that, you know, he did have some change. I don't know.
If he did, it was probably stolen. We don't know that for sure. There's a lot of unknowns in this whole story.
There is.
But one thing that I don't want to gloss over here is the camp that they stopped off at, you know, was a Native American camp. This was in January 1874. This camp was run by a chief named Chief Ore. I don't know how you say this thing, but known as the white man's friend. Okay. So this guy was trying to help these 20 some odd men out and say, you know, you guys can stay here and, you know, share the wealth until the thaw comes in April or May. And then, you know, everything will be passable. It'll be a lot less dangerous for you guys to go out. So just stay here.
Wait out and that storm.
Very, yeah, exactly. And they were very lucky to wander upon a camp like that, because that basically saved the rest of the men's lives.
Yeah.
Because not all of the 20-some-odd men were gullible enough to go along with Packard, which, I don't know. We can get into conspiracy theories about this case later, but that's where we are. So let's continue. So, you know, this Packard guy compels five of the dudes to go with him out into the wilderness and say, fuck it, we're not waiting until springtime. We're going to go find that gold now. Let's go. Who's coming with me? And so five guys for
Who's
some reason go.
Coming with me, man? Yeah.
I'm not going to do what you think
I'm going to do.
Come on, man. Who's coming
Come
with
me? Come on, man. Who's coming with me,
five
man?
Five hands shot up in the camp. It's just funny. It's just funny as hell to me that one shot was probably the wealthiest motherfucker out of all of them. He's got 6,000
and the oldest.
Yeah, and the oldest at, what, 62, 65 years old?
I heard 64, but yeah, yeah, 60 to 65, yeah.
But he's got like $6,000 total in cash and gold and shit. And he's got a rare Winchester rifle that's also worth a lot of money. So you know Packard is sitting there like licking his chomps. Like, this guy, like, I'm going to eat him and take all his shit.
I'm gonna call the salad, then I'm gonna take you.
Then I'm gonna eat everybody else too, just cause. Fuck it, it's gonna be a cold.
I can.
But anyway, let's go from there. The five guys and Packard leave the reservation, so to speak, and go out onto this untested trail out into the California, Stephen, you idiot.
Colorado. Fucking idiot.
Wilderness.
Wrong
6 foot.
He has outbursts. He's still getting used to the medication.
It's okay.
He got directions from Packard himself.
Chiller, you should know about this. Were you around for this whole thing? Yeah. I feel like this is Chiller.
Kind of.
Okay, what was that? A yeah, no, kind of? I mean, which one? We got a yes, no, and a maybe.
Well, I had my feelings with some of the, gunslinger. I never really heard of this Packard dude. He seems like a real loser, to be honest.
Yeah, you might be right in the assessment.
Foot sickle.
Oh God! Back to the foot sickle.
Yeah.
So, where the hell were we at?
We were at the point where Packard is leading the five men out into the wilderness. So let's just go from there. It goes bad after that. To make a long story short, right?
It goes real bad.
And that's where we really don't know what happened, and it's all hearsay, or at least in this case, whatever Packard says happens. And his version of events changed more than once, more than twice. They changed thrice. He gives three different accounts of what happened and how he escaped from that wilderness, that wintry wilderness in Colorado. What was it, like 66 days later or something? And he's the only one that wanders out of the wilderness, and he's got a fat belly. You know, he's got some clothes on.
Bloated.
He's been eating good, man, out there. Eating good in the neighborhood, like Applebee's.
Look at that protein gas, Paul.
Got them human farts.
I almost can't wait to talk about the Green Monster at this point.
Well, we're not quite there yet, man.
No, I know. So,
Packard wanders into town. He wandered into, what was the name of the town he wandered into?
Saskatchewan. No, I'm kidding. That's Canada.
Yeah, he wandered a lot farther north.
Paul!
I told you should have made a left-hand turn.
Albuquerque.
Some bitch. You said right. I said left.
Thank God, Paul.
Oh, my God. All right, so things go bad. Now we come up to the two main scenarios that we have here. After being pretty much fucking lost, because Packer is not a guide, as you mentioned, SJ, as it was mentioned, that he was down on his luck. He kind of conned himself into the job to try and get his hands on them there gold in them hills. I know I started something there because I know he's going to say something. Go ahead, Don.
And radio silence.
And he's quiet. This is the one time he's fucking quiet. Go fucking figure. Anyway, so gets out there and it's taken a lot longer. I think it was said that he promised, his group, yeah, I can get there in this amount of time. It wasn't, there's no facts, there's no anything to prove that Packer ever had any knowledge or had ever been in the Colorado.
I don't think
territory.
He had ever been to Colorado, period.
Yeah, I don't believe that either. I'm right there with you. I don't think he had ever been to Colorado. I think it was all con.
Oh, yeah, it's a snake oil salesman kind of shit. Go on.
Exactly. And the reason that I stressed Colorado territory, because that's going to come up later towards the end of this. But at any rate, we got like two main scenarios. I think you guys will agree. We have two main scenarios here. Okay. When Packer came back to that small town that none of us can remember unless you brought that up, SJ.
I tried.
You tried. Gets back, and it doesn't take long because I think some of the party of 20 – what weren't they, back there and had seen Packer with these other prospectors and started to wonder, well, why are you the only one fucking coming back? You're a little bloated. You have a little too much Bell. Oh, see what I did there.
What you did there, Packard Bell.
Packard Bell. God, I didn't even go that far. I didn't even think about that. I was thinking about one of the other prospectors whose name was Bell. Now, this is the reason I bring him up, because one of the scenarios is that he goes, Packer, everybody is apparently asleep. Everything is good. Packer decides he's going to hit some high ground, go up on the edge of this, you know, mountain, get a little bit, you know, higher. He, you know, getting close to Colorado.
Rocky Mountains.
And see if he can see any kind of civilization, any kind of, you know, little towns, little whatever. And Packer comes back and says that he comes back, everybody but Bell is hacked up. Bell is actually cut off some of the, you know, the thigh meat, because, hey, I get it. I like dark meat, too.
Yeah.
You know, thighs and legs. I'm
especially,
you know,
on a cold night.
Chicken.
Right. Chickens. I knew that was coming. And so, you know, he walks up to the campground, and there's Bell. And when he approaches Bell, Bell comes at him with a hatchet, and Packer, and it said that the actual weapon that was discharged in this altercation was a revolver, and not, was it Israel?
Yeah, Israel, can't remember his last name, but yeah, Israel's the guy with the rare the Winchester rifle. Yeah, the valuable Winchester right. rifle, yeah.
That was something that was used in shooting
Israel Swan.
Bell. Swan, that's what it was. Yeah, some say that his rifle was used by Packer to kill Bell. Others say, yeah. You know, they actually dug up and have, like, the skeletal remains of, you know, the other four or five people.
Yeah.
That were in his party. All of them had bullet holes to the dick.
Bullet holes to the dick? I heard they had different things. I heard they had hatchet blows to the skull, like triangular. Yes. That would have been caused by
too.
Because when they wandered off into the wilderness, these five guys and Packer, all they had was they had hatchets and the one rifle. And, you know, a handful of provisions, I think. So that's, yeah. The only weapons that they had was one rifle, and, you know, probably every guy had a hatchet just for survival purposes. So
right.
Interesting.
But I did hear that when they looked at the pelvic area of all of the skeletal remains, that they all had bullet holes. They also had fractures. I think butterfly fractures and, you know, just flat out blunt force, you know, trauma to you know, the skulls, like what you were mentioning. So that's one. That Packer comes back to the campsite. Bell apparently killed the other four. And then Packer kills Bell and then survives off all of their meat.
Right.
And admits to cannibalizing them. Okay.
Dead man's. Then
we have, go ahead, Don.
The place that they found the bodies was called Dead Man's Gulch.
Go figure.
And it was called that before?
I believe so. And the place that Packer ended up stumbling to, I think, was it Lake City?
I believe that does sound familiar.
It was,
yes,
Lake
sir.
City.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the Wikipedia here. Where Packer
because
emerged.
That's fact.
Yeah, it has to be facts. It says
it
Packer emerged in April of 1874 and stumbled his way across a frozen lake bed to Los Pinos Indian Agency near. And this is where I think you got Saskatchewan from, Otis.
Close, Sagatch,
Colorado. I don't know how to pronounce that.
I was close.
Yeah, you were close, but it's Colorado. Somewhere in Colorado.
Right. And that's where the locals, you know, kind of started, you know, questioning.
Right.
But okay, so we have the one scenario. The second scenario is when he got back to town, to that town there in Colorado, he told everyone that he was left, that his party took off without him.
Yeah, he had become frostbitten, like both of his feet.
Yes.
So they just abandoned him.
And, right.
That's not something that happens back then. I'm sorry. if you're alive in the mid to late 1800s, you've seen frostbite probably, especially if you're a soldier. You're not just going to leave somebody if their feet are a little bit frostbitten. No. That's just bullshit.
And then we have a third scenario. And the third scenario goes something like Packer wakes up in the middle of the night, sees one of the other five prospectors, tearing up some rations. He's getting his fucking grub on, eating the last Twinkie. Packer's not having any of that. He gets up, he kills him, kills the other ones in their sleep.
Seems like the rational of the excuses that he gave at this point.
Really?
I think so.
You guys don't see the plausibility that, hey, you know, everybody's out there, they're hungry. They, for fuck's sake, man, they tried, you know, they were chewing on their leather, they were eating their fucking shoes at this point. Okay. I heard, you know, they were eating like rose petals, but where does roses grow in the Colorado mountains?
Where rosemary goes, man.
Oh, I see what you did there. That's a good song. And, but they were eating their fucking shoes, man. These guys are cold. They're hungry. They probably haven't eaten in like a week. Okay. A lot of them are getting frostbit.
Yeah, they're going to resort to cannibalism. The whole thing goes towards cannibalism.
Right. But who's to say who started it first?
Right. That's my problem with this whole story. And
exactly.
I don't know what to believe. What I do believe is this is just SJ's take. Alfred Packer was a career loser. And so he was out to make a quick buck. He was basically a hitchhiker, an 1880s version of an 1860s or 70s version of a hitchhiker. And he would say whatever he needed to say to hitch along with some people that had some goods, you know, just to stay alive. And I think he grifted some people in that camp, five dudes specifically, one of them being the richest among them that had like $6,000. And this is the Israel Swan guy.
Swan.
Yeah. As you mentioned before, like the oldest guy in the party too, like 62 or 64 or whatever he was. I think he took these people off into this, on this trail that he said he knew so well. And he had, you know, found a new, a faster route to get there, to find that gold out there. And I think he did that on purpose to get them out there in the middle of nowhere and rob them. And I think he used, you know, the cannibalism part was just survival, because he knew he would have to survive and he wouldn't have any food out there. Is that fucked up? Yes, totally fucked up. That's the kind of shit we talk about in the insane asylum, though. I think this guy was so fucked up in the head that he was willing to literally eat human flesh to survive, as long as he could take that fur off of their bodies. You know, whatever money he could get, and that nice Winchester rifle, and $6,000 in gold and currency that Israel had on him. I think it's cut.
Don, you have a as we talked earlier, you have a similar opinion to SJ. Why don't you explain what you think happened? Because you also think he was kind of, you know, just a fucking loser.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was just a loser to begin with. You know, he was down on his luck. I think he saw an opportunity, and he took the opportunity to do what he needed to do. You know, I mean, they were starving and everything, so why not rob them and kill them and eat them? So, I mean, you know, he had a hankering, I guess, and he decided he was going to do it.
Yeah, hankering. I had a hankering for Bell's leg.
He just didn't have them 12 herbs and spices. He had to eat it natural.
Man.
I don't think we consider him a serial killer, though. I don't think he had like bloodlust.
No, you can't.
I don't think he had bloodlust on his mind. I think he had survival on his
mind. But SJ, hold on. Didn't you say that it was his whole con to take them out into the woods and kill them and rob them of their shit?
But just to get them away from everybody else so nobody would see it. Because if he had 20 men, he couldn't kill all of them, but maybe 5 was manageable out in the fucking cold, you know, 6-foot snowdrifts, 32 degrees below zero. You know, you watch the same video. We all watch the same videos in preparation for this. So I think, I don't think he had killing in mind. I think his only motivation was to make it out of there. And hopefully nobody would ask about those other 5 guys that he wandered off with, because there was, you know, 15 other guys that were still alive. And maybe they just all wandered out. You know, it's harsh out there. So, yeah, it's reasonable that dudes would die and maybe only one guy makes it out. So I think
I just find it odd to you know, buy into that the only reason he did that. I think that his main reason was to get to Breckenridge, Colorado, to get some fucking gold. But I think he was hoping in the beginning that maybe the other 14, 15 guys, however many there was, outside of their party of 6, you know, what would go along with what, you know, maybe he was doing. Maybe they had this same greed lust, is what I'm saying.
Well, these guys that went out there with him ostensibly would have some kind of, like, mining experience. They would know how to mine for the gold, find it. This guy, Alfred or Alfred Packer, whatever the fuck you want to call him, AJ, AP.
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 Associated
I don't know why I said
Press.
AJ. I blew off the tongue, but.
AP, UP, AP.
This guy's got no mine experience, so once he gets out there, and even if he does make it, he's not going to know how to find the fucking gold out there, unless he was just stupid enough to think that you just make it there and literally just find it on the ground or get on your hands and knees and dig it out by hand.
So that's actually my point. That's actually my point. He didn't anticipate people, you know, seeing him as having a bad attitude or perceiving him in certain ways. A lot of the prospectors, and you know, including in the whole 20, thought that he was there, like you said, SJ, to, you know, rob them, to overuse, you know, their rations, to take advantage of them. Okay, so, I mean, I don't know. I kind of lost my train of thought there. But I had a good point there, I swear.
Now, wait a minute, right? He was captured, right? They finally figured out the story didn't add up. And he was he was locked away into this little bitty, I guess, makeshift cabin jail, and he escaped, right? So he escaped.
Yes.
9 years.
He escaped after he was threatened with, or not threatened with, but given the death sentence. Yes. The judge, in very clear terms, said, we're going to watch you swing by the neck until you're dead.
No, that was actually bullshit. That was all hearsay.
Okay.
There's no proof that he said, you know, that or said that, oh, well, we had seven Democrats and you ate five of them. No.
Right. Oh,
yeah. It makes fucking story. It really does. Hey, Republican. They actually use those terms, you know, to kind of put forth, you know, this story. But okay, here's my point real quick. And then, you know, SJ, you and Don can fucking sum this whole thing up about, you know, why he didn't get hung. All right, here's the thing. Okay, why, if you were Alfred Packard, okay, and you have no mining experience, you kind of need these motherfuckers. So here's what I think happened. It kind of goes along a little bit with what you guys are saying. Because after I've thought about it, yeah, it makes sense. Okay, you have no mining experience. You're with a bunch of miners. The largest part of the group already sees you as, you know, just a fucking boil on their ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
An annoyance.
An annoyance. They don't like you. They don't like your attitude. They don't trust you.
They don't like the fact that you have seizures every, you know, 2 hours, slowing
everything down, right? So, major part of, and he don't know where the fuck he's going either, okay? He's a bullshit guide. So he has no idea where he's going. The ones that do know where they're going threaten to shoot his ass. So he's lost that guide. That's why he stayed behind and tried to bring the other five guys, stay behind at a safe distance. When that didn't work, now I can see where possibly he takes them all. But how is he taking five guys out? Okay, in their sleep, that's the only way you're going to fucking do it.
Oh, I think he was a smooth operator, man. I think he talked his way into
those
fights.
Well, you said he was dumber than hell.
I don't think he's dumber than hell. You're not dumb. You're not going to be a complete dumbass and convince a group of 20, you know, plus men to, you know, take you into their order, you know, because they found this guy on the side of the street. They didn't know this guy from Jack. So he must have been.
You guys into a podcast, so it works. Yeah, I see it.
But he must have been. He must have had a silver tongue, man. I'm just saying, to get that far.
So the only reason that you are going to take, and the majority of the 20, you know, whatever men that you started out with, have already left you, okay.
And we're not saying that they all have mining experience either, because this is the gold rush days. People would just set out west, even if they had no idea what they were doing.
Sure. But some in his group did. Go ahead, Don.
I think he saw an easy opportunity. Just an easy opportunity to talk his way into things. And
yeah, like an early example of like a hitchhiker killer or a hitchhiker robber, a carjacker. That kind of shit,
right.
Like robbing a wagon train, that kind of shit that used to happen back in the day. Back
in
those days.
Was he a packer jacker?
Was he a what? A packer jacker?
A packer jacker.
Oh, God. All right.
Wait.
So he ends up back in town. He is brought to trial. It's said that his trial was, you know, really a kind of a farce.
Well, he represented himself, didn't he?
Yeah, so that's not good.
Yeah, that's definitely not good.
That's definitely wasn't good. Can you defend yourself, Mr. Packer?
Mr. Packer, please put your attorney's leg down. I'm defending myself, Your Honor.
I was on the floor.
So he was sentenced to hang.
which and, he did not. He did not swing.
He did not swing. SJ, why don't you tell us a little bit about why he didn't swing? Because there was old Polly. Wasn't that her name? Last name Polly or first name Polly?
Oh, yeah, something like that. The journalist. Were, yeah, but also yeah. he didn't swing because of statehood.
Yes, this is why I emphasize territory earlier, because hanging was not institutionalized until Colorado became a state. Is that right?
Well, it was not a statute of limitations thing, but it was that the supposed crime that Packer committed, which I think he was only pinned with the one murder, and it was oh my God,
Bell.
Yeah, it was Bell. Who they never found his head, right?
Yes.
The one that supposedly got his head chopped off in one fell swoop from a hatchet, which also is bullshit. But at the time, you know, this murder happened that he was convicted of. Colorado was not a state; it was a territory.
Right.
So Colorado didn't achieve statehood until 1867, I think, right? So at the time,
no, it had to have been later than that because it was 1874 that this.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you.
So when this shit happened, Colorado wasn't a state and it didn't have state laws yet. So by the time it was inducted into the Union and it was a part of the United States of America at the time, a brand new state, they, you know, through a series of bullshit and legal loopholes, a lot that were convicted of. Mm-hmm. Major crimes had their shit either thrown out or retried because now Colorado's a state and Packer's case
right.
fell under that kind of that situation.
Territory.
Yeah, exactly. So we're looking at a guy that got so many breaks for this case and we still don't know what really happened. That's the thing. We could go through all, you know,
it is
true that he broke out of, you know, jail, I think, before.
Okay.
There were three trials? Were there three trials for Packer? I think there were.
There was two.
Two? Okay.
I remember hearing about it, but there could have been three. Again, like you said, I mean, there's no real, you know, clear shit about this.
Right. And
you know, other than
in true NLD style, we don't really have time to go every excruciating detail of the case because there is a lot. There was a photographer, a French photographer, that actually went up and found the five skeletons.
Bonjour. Oh,
yeah, there you go. There's our
Lord.
French photographer.
Bonjour. He took a photo.
Some really gruesome illustrations. Good stuff.
Yes. It was born.
You say yes.
Can you describe the scene?
It was gruesome. With the bodies everywhere. Immaculate blood.
Immaculate.
The severed heads and the bashed skulls. The skulls.
Is this the French guy or the German guy?
I don't know what happened.
In French.
You sound German.
Well, you know what? I'm Alfred Packer. And I don't know what all these accents is about, but I'll just tell you the trim five bastards because I was hungry. And that's just it. I didn't want their gold.
Yeah,
I didn't want their Winchester rifles.
Home.
I didn't want him. I just wanted to get out of that desperate situation I was in. And you know what?
Hungry is hungry
mm-hmm.
does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wanted to let the bacon.
I guarantee.
I guarantee. Oh, God. All right. So there you have. There you have. And NLD's version of the Alfred Packer story, the Colorado cannibal. Do you guys have anything else to add to this?
Yes, I do.
Because
I have something to add to this.
Okay.
By the end of it, let's just leave the dreadheads with this. Packer was never executed. He did serve. He was given a 40-year sentence. He only served 15 years. He got out and lived the rest of his life. He died in was 1907, I think. Of a
yes,
stroke.
I think it was. Yeah.
And at the end of his life, he was a Otis. You mentioned, oh God, what was her name? The lady, the one of the women responsible for. She thought he was innocent
Polly.
The whole time. Polly. Polly wants a cracker. So Polly got him out of jail, basically.
Polly Ollie Oxenfree.
And he actually went to be a security guard at the very same newspaper where Polly worked. And then he was a ranch hand or something for his last gig in life. And then died of a stroke. Mm-hmm. And his last words on this earth, at least reportedly, were... you know, exclaiming
Bill was
his
yummy and swan's butt cheeks, the butts of men, or what do you say, the breast of men is the sweetest meat I've ever tasted.
Well, damn, no, we're going all Albert Fish. I didn't hear that. I've heard his his innocence. Like, I'm not guilty of these charges.
Well, he turned out being a vegetarian too. He turned vegetarian.
Well, that's true. That's
everybody's
true,
grandpa.
Hilarious.
He
was like, right.
He was a vegetarianism. It's like a new religion.
You know, I was done saying things about this, but did you guys hear that his head was likely severed before his body was buried and was donated to the Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Ripley's
Museum,
Believe It or Not, right.
In New Orleans, and then after Katrina and the whole flood, now it's, I think, in Houston or some in one of the Ripley's museums. So if you want to check out this guy's possible head, go to Texas and get some head. Go to Texas and get some Alfred Packer head.
Get some head. It's a Packer head. All right. Okay, so there you go. Now we have to throw in the
cryptid
green
of the week.
Monster. That's right. The cryptid of the week is the Flatwoods Monster of West Virginia.
Mountain Mama. Ace of Spades. Saw something weird.
Where I belong. Anyway, when you go to Flatwoods, West Virginia, it says, "Welcome to Flatwoods, home of the Green Monster." Are they taking this a little fucking far?
Every town has an Elm Street, and every town has a claim to fame, right? This is all they have in Flatwoods, West Virginia.
No, I'm sure the Elm Streets in every town were not around or were around before fucking Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's true.
Just saying.
I'm just saying. So, every little town has this little bullshit, you know, history. Like some kind of mysterious thing that happened in town.
So who wants to dive into this?
Oh, Don.
Cryptid.
Don, 100%.
Don is diving into the cryptid Green Monster.
Flatwoods Monster.
Because I think he believes it. I really do. I think his ass believes it.
That sounds like the laugh of a man that believes.
That's a believing laugh right there, sir. You got that right, SJ.
Well, apparently,
a man that believes does not laugh like that. Go on, tell us a little bit about the scripted bullshit.
Well, I'm just apparently there was it was like a meteorite or something that flew across the sky or something, and there in Flatwoods, West Virginia, and when
this is September 12th, 1952, by the way, so we're going back.
1952, yes.
And it hit, and apparently...
Four little shit stains running through the fucking field.
One of them, a grown woman, you know, leading children into the woods, like, what's that red glowing fire that just crashed in the woods? Let's go check
it out. No, no, no. No, hold on, SJ. That was actually after, because remember she was like, you know, oh, come on. They even had like a security guard. We're gonna hop over this fence into private property. We're gonna go try and find where the shit fucking fell. You know, come on, man. You're
seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Honestly, I probably would have done the same thing.
Stake hit the ground, and then like they go to investigate it. You know, May and these what two or three kids and stuff like that with one flashlight. Now, with one flashlight.
And well, it was 1952. A flashlight they probably cost like $30.
Yeah.
How many flashlights you have in 1952?
I have five.
You had candles, motherfucker. Shut up. All right, go ahead.
Roman candles. Yeah. Well, apparently when this thing struck, this monster appeared out of the meteor or out of the crater hole or wherever you want to call it.
This is just too funny.
And it was big, they said, and it was green, and it had red eyes. Then it had this...
Mr. Yuck is mean.
And it had,
Mr. Yuck is green. We had them monsters, too. They were on all the bottles of poisonous shit.
And it had a hood-looking thing like the Ace of Spades or something on the back of it, right? So they're sitting there staring at it, and it's got claws, apparently. And then this is the funny part.
Oh, now we're getting to the funny part? God, just even mentioning a green monster in West Virginia, I thought was the funny part.
Jesus Christ. Finish the story, Don, you goddamn idiot.
You take it from here, SJ. Just tell it, man.
Right, well, I don't know where to go from there. So here's the thing. A monster landed in Petwoods, West Virginia. All right. Kids and a grown ass lady went out there and they was looking for it and they seen something. It looked like a, I don't know. It looked like a, like an alien, maybe an alien inside a spaceship built on a rocket ship. I ain't sure, you know. Had a head like,
sure.
Like an Ace of Spades, like you said. Kind of looked
had
like
a head like a bastard rat.
Well, it looked more like a reptilian trapped inside a dildo.
An alien. It
looked like a one-eyed trouser snake.
It kind of does. That's the funny thing about this whole case, man.
It looks like a penis with two eyes.
It's the damnedest thing. And then the bottom half of it is like wearing a muumuu or like a long, you know, gown. Some kind of dress. And I know you guys are probably watching stuff on those things. So it's...
Oh, God.
There's also a...
Slender...
Go ahead.
It's a slender muumuu.
Yes. Probably an owl. Probably a barn owl explains this whole thing. But a very stinky barn owl, because this thing apparently...
gassed everybody.
It gassed everybody. It just dumped ass. And the most disgusting smell, because that witnessed this beast in West Virginia back in 52, they were sick for days. Nausea and breathing problem. They swore by it, though, these four people. And, you know, as much as we're making fun of this, this is one of the more popular cryptids out there. This is one that's been circulated around a lot. Don, I know you've heard about this one before. You know, we talked about it on the show, right? You've heard about this. Or had you not? Had you not heard about this case before we talked about it for the show tonight?
Yeah.
Well, you're from the South. You have a lot of real stupid...
You guys got there. All them weird motherfuckers down there. We don't have slender moose. We don't have, you know, up here in Ohio. We don't have slender moose. We don't have fucking, you know, Flatwood. You know, we don't have Fairborn monsters. We don't have that shit running around.
You know
what?
You be careful in them cornfields. You ever seen Signs?
I've seen Children of the Corn. That's one reason I don't stay. I stay out of fucking cornfields.
But the Flatwoods monster.
Fuck them monsters! I'm scared of Isaac and Malachi.
They're a lot more scarier. They a lot more scarier Flatwoods monster thing. But the Flatwoods monster, you know, it kind of bridges the gap between people that believe in cryptids and ufology.
It bridges the gap, between sanity and insanity.
Agree a lot on the sighting of it eventually.
They did. So we got, you know, going back to the beginning of it, September 12th, 1952, two brothers, Edward and Fred May, and their friend Tommy Heyer said they saw a bright object cross the sky. I'm going to go back and contradict you, Otis, because that happened first. Here's the thing: there was a meteor sighting on the same day. And I think three different states.
Maryland, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania.
So there's the beginning of it. Now, I was watching a video earlier tonight about the Flatwoods monster.
So their story was bullshit right from the beginning, right?
I think so. Yeah, it's definitely one of those cases of something happened.
Bullshit!
Yes, bullshit.
Sorry.
But it's also 1952, so... Like I was saying, man.
Okay, so it's really bullshit. It's,
well, you're living, you know, this is the time where young boys like the kids in this case would have grown up watching sci-fi, like really cheesy early sci-fi movies and reading cheesy sci-fi novels and comic books and stuff. Right.
Children back then were reading in 1952. Kids these days are reading about Slender Moo. And this story now on Creepypasta. Shit hasn't fucking changed since 1952.
Sipping moonshine, you know.
Moonshine down there in the holler. Them fuckers are seeing everything.
Oh, man. I saw the Flatfoot monster.
The Flatfoot monster. Good Lord. Continue, SJ. Sorry.
No, I'm not much there. I'm just saying. I think these kids probably saw. I honestly believe it was like a barn. I think they saw something out there, and it was like an owl or something. And the moonlight hit the owl's eyes, and that weird eye shine that you get. I think they thought they saw something, and they were just freaked out because they had just seen a meteor, you know, crossing the horizon, which they'd probably never seen that shit before. And now they're out of the woods, freaked out.
And also think about this. 1952, Roswell was 1947, right?
Right.
So we're talking about 5 years after Roswell and after, you know, when did Orson Welles' War of the Worlds come out?
That was before Roswell, I think.
You had comic books on aliens and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's my point.
So they were probably... Go ahead, Don.
I mean, I see where the kids' imaginations could have got away with them. You know, I mean, right. You know, back...
What's your fucking excuse?
Back then, I'm in the insane asylum. I have no excuse.
Hey.
So are we. Whoa. You're putting a bad connotation on everybody in the insane asylum.
We're all insane.
We don't all see little green monsters running around.
No, but we're all insane.
Think for yourself, Otis.
I the owls.
I see hippos and pink tutus every now and then, but that's near her and her side.
I see 5 foot salamanders crawling up like a tree.
Yes, dreadheads. If you go down a rabbit hole on YouTube about the Flatwoods monster, you will indeed find supposed evidence that the Flatwood monster is actually just a giant salamander turned
like from China
climbing up a tree in West Virginia. Yeah. in Asia.
A Chinese salamander. Hybrid fucking salamander, like 5 fucking miles long, climbing a fucking tree. That's what you'll figure out.
Somebody.
That's what this is.
Salamander go.
Or it's a fucking owl.
Yeah, a barn owl, actually.
A barn owl, yeah, and they say a female it was barn owl.
A female barn owl.
And the reason is, well, go ahead.
It grew in height, too. It started out
what?
15 foot. Say height.
15 foot.
They pulled off a heist?
No.
He said it grew in height. You said height, right?
Yeah.
Height, man. It's height.
Yeah,
height.
It grew in height. Like, he got taller.
Grammar police. I'm from the South, too. I'm not going to allow this height shit.
Heist.
Heist.
Heist. Heist. He got tall, Paul. We drinking out there in that forest. We saw
the
salamander, and it got tall, Paul, and it was dressed in a dress, one of them moo-moos, and we were slamming that shine, man. We were trying to keep from it, so we had these fire built up around the steel, you know, Paul.
We've reached the point in the podcast where everything we've said has been thrown into a blender and put on high.
And then somebody drove up on Albert.
Puree.
Albert and his Packer, and he drove it, and Paul, he loaded up moonshine and said that the monster ride with him, Paul.
The Packard has nothing to do with this. God damn. So I guess the conclusion that we've reached here when it comes to the Flatwood Monster is that it's a hybrid of an ancient Asian salamander.
That came space.
Or was that a poking its head through a hole in an oak tree, Paul?
Could be a clan member that got hold to the wrong stuff. That pointy cone and stuff hanging down there in West Virginia, man. I say get that bastard out of there.
But it don't
shoot. Shoot it with your long rifle, Paul.
It was red, Paul.
It stinks. Kill it. It stinks and it's leaking motor oil.
Yeah, that's right, man.
That Packard was leaking motor oil, Paul. It had red headlights.
And besides, I don't like the way it's looking at me.
It was looking at me cross-eyed, Paul.
So fuck the Flatwoods Monster.
Did you have sunshine? Did you see that salamander?
I seen it.
Did the wife.
Mm-hmm. She likes it when she sees that salamander. Looking she likes that.
She wonders why it has two eyes instead of one.
Green. She wonders why it's green, though.
All right. I think we've gone off the rails here. All right. That's about all you're going to get, I think, from us of any intelligent conversation, which we've provided none up to this point.
I heartily agree.
I knew you guys would. There you go. The Colorado cannibal, the fucking screen monster running around West Virginia.
The West Virginia Wiggler.
The West Virginia Wiggler. Paul, it went around, Paul. It was slimy, Paul.
I don't know why I said that.
That's what your mama said. Got me some of that West Virginia Wiggler.
I see things when I'm drinking that stuff. Woo!
That the one-eyed spitting gilly. All right. I think that's gonna do it for this week, episode 54. You've had it. Night Living Dreads.
It was dry.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. You're out of your element. Shut the fuck up.
Donnie, you're out of your element.
Donnie.
You're out of your element, Donnie. Yes, motherfucker.
Strap is
you will get
straight jacket here, man.
White coats! White coats! Where are you at?
We're calling for the white coats for once.
I know, we never do this. We hate when they come, but for some reason we feel that we need to alert them.
I don't feel safe.
I hit Pecker. Packer, help me.
You ate Pecker?
Pecker.
Oh, so this clown back on ice.
All right. Here we go. Episode 54 in the fucking bag. I'm Otis B. Dreads. Hey, SJ, Don, thank you, you fucking weird fucks. Don't forget, this podcast and all of our previous podcasts can be listened to over there. NightLivingDreads.com. Don't forget to jump on our group, Night Living Dreads, the group. Man, we're big time now. And, of course, Night Living Dreads, the page. Follow us. You'll catch the podcast on all three of those, as well as Spotify and Stitcher. Hey, thank you, guys, I think.
Anytime.
This has been fun. So
it was fun as talking always. To you. It was fun talking to you, Paul and Bubba. I really appreciate it. I'm gonna go get Chiller and put him up.
Oh, all right. Well, we're gonna send the white coats to your room. My call, and you're gonna get that red, white, and blue pill again.
Nope.
That combination. Yeah, you can go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, because that red, white, and blue pill, will put you the fuck down. Hey, thank you guys. Here we go. We're out this bitch.
No one knows. We're going to die.